Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, May 19th, 1856, the caning of Charles Sumner inside the U.S. Senate chamber. This was in the heat of the debate over slavery. Sumner, an abolitionist from Massachusetts, had given a fiery anti-slavery speech that also got a little personal towards Preston Brooks, a representative from South Carolina. A couple days later, Brooks approached Sumner and beat him severely with his cane. Lots to talk about here about civility and violence and this moment in American history. So I'm joined, as always, by Nicole Hemmer of Columbia. Hello, Nikki.
Hey, Jody. How's it going?
Pretty good. And our guest for the next two episodes is historian Joanne Freeman, one of our favorite historians. You may know her from the podcast and radio show Backstory and the Hamilton documentary and lots of other things. Joanne, welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History.
Hi, guys.
Joanne, let me throw this to you. I would argue that this is perhaps the most well-known, little-known moment in American political history. Like, everyone who thinks they know one obscure thing about American political history, it's this thing. So put this in perspective for us in terms of the sweep of American history. How obscure of a moment is this, or has it entered official Trivial Pursuit, you know, territory?
Maybe both. Maybe it's Trivial Pursuit and people know about it. Because I think you're right that, you know, I've been working on political violence for a really long time and violence in Congress. So over the however many years it told me to write the last book I wrote, when I would say to people, I'm writing about violence in Congress, the first thing they would say, they didn't always know Sumner's name, but they would say something like, well, there's that guy. And they would sometimes like move their arm like a caning. I'd be like, yeah, there's that guy. So people know that a bad thing happened in Congress and someone got beaten badly. So even if people know nothing else, that's out there. It's dramatic. I mean, I remember high school teachers being very dramatic and telling me that story when I was a kid. So I think people kind of know that it happened and kind of, you know, have a sense that, wow, like someone beat up a senator or a congressman and that was horrible. So, of course, it was a big deal, which, of course, is not all there is to that story.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of those things. But it's funny, you just in referencing it just now didn't mention the thing that is the stickiest for me, which is that it happened on the like in the chamber, right?
Yeah.
Which is always feels like the kicker to that story. I don't know, Nikki, what are the things that are that feel like make this a sticky story that a lot of people end up telling?
Well, I think the stickiness does have to do with the idea that there's going to be this violent fight on the floor of Congress, which is not something that we see often these days. And when we do see violence in a parliament, it's often overseas. So it seems like something that happens over there and not here. But I also think that the sticky part is the political cartoon that gets reprinted in just about every history textbook that shows Brooks beating Sumner. And one of the things that makes that sticky moment so problematic in a way is that it doesn't really get at how violent this beating was. He was nearly killed in this beating and wasn't back in Congress for like years because of how bad his injuries were.
Right. It's not like this quirky little thing that happened. I mean, it was a serious act of violence.
It's not quaint, which is kind of what those cartoons make it look like.
So, Joanne, why wasn't this, we think of people hashing it out back in this time as they will duel. Why didn't this end up as a duel?
Well, I mean, I guess I'd give you two answers to that. And one of them is Congress and actually the United States were really violent at the time. So not everyone who was in a dispute was, this is not going to make sense, but actually was civilized enough to go shoot at somebody. And sometimes that actually just took place on the floor. So that's part of the answer. But I think the more serious answer is there's no way Sumner would have fought a duel, and anyone would have known that. Any Northerner would have known that. Any Southerner would have known that. And in the sort of code of honor at the time, if someone insulted you and you wanted to redeem your name, if you couldn't challenge them to a duel, then your other option was a caning. Mm-hmm. And so, and a caning is what you did to an inferior, right? So there's a message to it. You were kind of saying, this guy isn't worthy of dueling, or in Sumner's case, probably won't fight a duel. So a caning would have made perfect sense, partly as what Brooks had available to him, and partly because it set a really strong message that Brooks was saying Sumner's inferior.
I was really struck, Joanne, about that sort of code of honor, because one of the things that ends up getting Brooks in trouble is not that he canes Sumner, it's that he does it on the floor, right? That there were appropriate places to engage in different kinds of duels and fisticuffs and canings, and Brooks violated those rules.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, it's almost comical. Like, there's an episode in which, not this one, but a different violent episode that breaks out on the floor. And the person who's speaker, it's in the house at the time, says something like, "Gentlemen, these things are supposed to be taken out of doors. They're not supposed to take place here. If you're going to have a deliberate fight where one person deliberately attacks another, take it outside. There are all kinds of battlegrounds outside. So that's really where you should go." So yeah, the fact that it happens on the floor in such a deliberate way, and as you've mentioned already, both of you, the fact that Sumner is sitting at his desk, right, working. I think he's actually signing and franking copies of the speech he gave, right? So he's sitting at his desk working. And the symbolism of, you know, a representative walking up to this senator on the Senate floor and then beating him, there was real symbolism in that, obviously, at the time, which is part of why you didn't tend to do that. You know, I mean, Brooks assumed he would catch Sumner out of doors and try for several days to find him out of doors to avoid just what happened.
Yeah, so we should point that out, that there's a little bit of a buildup here. This is all sort of in response to a number of speeches that Sumner had given in which, you know, he cast aspersions. The language, if you look back, you know, I mean, he kind of is giving some pretty intense speeches. He's making some accusations. Some of them are personal in nature. But was this language, Joanne, put this in context for us, was the language that Sumner was using that provoked this attack really out of bounds? I mean, was it enough to really make someone take this drastic step?
Well, yeah. In a word, yeah. And he did that deliberately. I mean, when you look at his letters from before this, Sumner's saying things like, "I need to do something to really provoke the Southerners. We're talking about Kansas right now, so Kansas it's going to be. And I'm going to say something that's really going to shake up not just the Southerners, but more important to him, his audience, the public." So he's trying to cross lines. And after his speech, that's part of what Southerners say. Like, "You deliberately tried to insult us," and he can't say anything other than, "Well, yeah." That's what I was doing.
So how should we think of this in the context of, I mean, this was in the context of a debate about slavery. So should we think of this as, you know, a heated example about a really intense political debate and a debate at the heart of this country's future? Or was it a just personal dispute or some mix of the two?
Oh, I would say it was definitely a political dispute that had a personal dimension. And I don't think you can always pull those two things apart really easily, I guess then and now, right? So they're sort of linked with each other. But what he really wanted to do was make a public impact. So he was deliberately doing something political and aggressive to stir up the North.
And in many ways, it really was the attack by Brooks that gave Sumner what he wanted in a way, because it connected the violence on the floor of the Congress with the violence that was happening in Kansas and the violence that was happening across the country, and fed into this idea that the South and slavery were sources of violent disruption in American life, and really gave new energy to the anti-slavery and abolition movements.
Joanne, does violence in our politics and our violence in the real world, are they connected at all? I mean, when we have people acting in uncivil ways in our political sphere, does that give permission for people to behave in other ways in the regular world? I mean, we have so much of this conversation going on right now about the coarsening of culture and the coarsening of our politics and what it says about us in general. I mean, do you buy that they're connected?
They're definitely connected, but I don't think that's a one-way connection. So I don't think you can say politicians look violent and so the nation has permission, because we do have a representative government. Whatever the politicians are doing, they rely on the public for power. So they're also reflecting some of what they perceive, right? It's a two-way conversation in which everyone is convinced that everyone else is comfortable with this. And you can see how that builds on itself and goes to bad places.
So I want to just ask a little bit about civility in general, civility in that era, what it tells us about civility in our era. But Nikki, I mean, it feels like we have weirdly two maybe competing or opposite ideas of civility in the past, which is, on the one hand, we're like, oh, you know, it was genteel and governed by norms and, you know, all these protocols. And then on the other hand, you know, people are just challenging each other to duels and beating each other up left and right. So, like, what's actually true, or what does it say that we kind of have these two different visions?
Yeah, I think that we do tend to look at the past in more sepia tones. And I don't think that we really have a way of understanding today this idea of civilized violence or well-ordered violence that has all of these rules around it that give it the air of being civilized, when in fact it's actually quite brutal and quite bloody.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose it's good, but we see violence and politics as two separate things, when in fact they can unfortunately be working together in a lot of ways. And I think also related to what you just said, Americans tend to think back to the past and see it as golden and us as Americans as superior. And they see beatings and all sorts of things going on in other Congresses and they think, well, that's other countries, right? That would never happen here. And I think thinking about this incident, it's a reminder that not only are we not in some way superior, but that democracy is messy and it can be violent and it's tricky and it takes work. And we had to do that work and still do in the same way that any other country does.
Okay, we're going to end it there. Nicole Hemmer, thank you as always.
Thank you, Jody.
And Joanne Freeman, thanks to you. And you'll be back for one more episode after this.
Thanks for having me.
Now, a quick shout out before we go. Nicole and I were on the Cracked podcast this week. Excellent podcast. A long conversation with host Alex Schmidt about some lesser known moments of crisis in American history. So we had a lot of fun. Go check out the Cracked podcast if you have some time. This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. You can find out lots more about the show, including how to suggest a topic, at thisdaypod.com. You can also email us, thisdaypod@gmail.com. Keep leaving ratings and reviews and telling people about this show. It is helping to grow this audience, so thank you so very much. Our producer and researcher is Jacob Feldman. Next episode, Thursday, Joanne will be back, as I said, to talk about another messy moment in America's early history, even earlier, and I think even messier than today's topic, the treason trial of a former vice president. It involves Thomas Jefferson, John Marshall, and a bunch of other major figures deciding how democratic this country was going to be. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Radiotopia.